Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bias Check-In.
Hi everyone, welcome back and happy almost turkey season.
It is turkey season. It's almost. Thanksgiving week.
Okay, at the time of recording, we're technically not, I guess we are in Thanksgiving week. Never mind, happy turkey time.
Okay. You and Thanksgiving, I don't understand it. You get food, you get family or friends, whichever you choose. You get stuffed. It's fun.
It's simply foreign. For any new listeners, feel free to jump back to last year's Thanksgiving episode. Susie is the little Thanksgiving elf who could. Like, she's just Thanksgiving is her happy day. She's the Blair Waldorf of Chicago when it comes to Thanksgiving. I am a little bit more not into it, and that's also okay. To follow our actual recording format, Susie, let's give everyone a wonder, what are we checking in with today?
Let me think. No, officially opening Thanksgiving and therefore Friendsgiving season, and with vaccines and boosters, this might be the year we go back to office parties for the holiday season. And well, for some of us, they might be our first office parties. So we're talking about like office Christmas parties, etiquette, Gossip Girl Thanksgiving episodes. And hopefully we are going to have a good time. And maybe this year we bring Claudia to the dark side of enjoying Thanksgiving.
I will always enjoy an excuse to get people together and cook humongous amounts of food. Mm-hmm. And pretending like we're not all going to be completely done after appetizers. The part that confuses me is why is such a big deal? But we can go into the politics of that some other time. Let's keep it lighthearted. Like, so what should you or should you not do in front of your boss? At the time of recording, as of this morning, the FDA approved the third booster shot for all American adults. So if we were to book our booster shot relatively soon, for those of us that haven't gotten it yet, you could be well covered just in time for office parties. And in cases of workers like Susie and I that started new roles during the pandemic, I mean, the past 2 years, a bunch of people had transitioned, the great resignation, the great rehiring. We talked about all of that in other episodes. But it might very well be the first time that you see your coworkers in person. And if office parties were tricky before, a lot of the same rules will still apply this year. And so we just figured it might be fun to go over a few of the common cliches and the do's and the don'ts.
Absolutely. So from the Society of HR Management, they just published one of their articles by Forrest Hartman, How to Survive Your Office Holiday Party. And in it says that in December, 3 out of 4 companies will host holiday parties for workers, according to a Chicago-based survey that they did. Yes, it's about getting to know your coworkers, getting to connect with them, bond, laugh, and not all just be centered around business. But the idea behind office parties is to genuinely thank you for the work you've done. Correct? So any thoughts on that, Claudia?
That's the part when we were doing the research for this episode that throws me off a lot, because you went straight for the reputable source and through a couple of blogs and just previous years' experiences that people shared. And it should go without saying, but people, don't go overboard. Don't do anything that you would be embarrassed to remember on Monday morning. Or even worse, something that you would be embarrassed to not remember Monday morning, but the rest of the office will surely think about it for a couple weeks. When we were in college, my provost, my dean of students, would always tell us, for all official pictures, all official functions, don't do anything that your grandparents will be ashamed to hear about, and don't take any pictures that they wouldn't put on their mantle. That should be the running standard. And for some reason, reading some of these blogs and some of these accounts, like, I'm glad your office knows how to throw down, but I don't know how we're comfortable doing that with, you know, the VPs, the CEOs, and even just our managers and co-workers present.
Literally. This article goes into, HR experts believe that there are a few keys to hosting a successful problem-free party. So if you came for the how to survive it, don't be there for too long. Have a ride. Don't be drunk
driving.
Don't be
that person that gets to the end of the evening and realizes, oop, couple cups Pinot too many, and now my phone is dead and someone will need to take me home.
Creating a respect memo. Reminding employees in writing of the company's policies on harassment as well as the dress code. Doesn't sound unreasonable, but also, really, people, we still need to remind you that there's harassment policies and dress codes.
It's basically saying, like, just because it's a party instead of a work meeting, you're still meeting with all the people that you work with. So if that joke wouldn't fly in another setting, don't make that joke there. I do think on the appropriate attire, I'm a little bit on the fence, because I would rather be caught dead than showing up in a clubbing dress to a work event or anything like that. But just that's just my general preference. I dress more conservatively probably than the average person my age, because I am lazy and that's comfy. The idea of having to be reminded of appropriate attire to my little foreign ears also sounds a little bit like when we hear about middle school dances and boys and girls need to leave room for the higher power of your choice. If we have to go through these many steps to have a sufficiently enjoyable office party, come on, people.
And then I think this one was our favorite, mostly because we actually learned something, but sending for the spouses. So many companies invite spouses for common sense reasons, as they can act as the better half that tempers the worst instincts and inclinations of their mates. We've all heard at the beginning of our episodes, Claudia calling Sam her better half. So is this true? Are you more well behaved around Sam?
I mean, as in, am I his little cricket conscience so his Pinocchio nose doesn't grow too much or grab too many cups? I don't know. His workplace is local. Their teachers, they're in person. So they have done some COVID-safe staff outings this year. And usually spouses and significant others are welcome. I would go on the record saying I haven't had to manage my spouse. I'm very happy of that. I would not like to have to go somewhere where I have to be like, sweetheart, put the cap down.
Yeah.
But I can see from the company point of view, it is a smart move, because I've always interpreted as, look at us, we're such a fancy company that we are not just paying for your plate, we're paying for your plate and your spouse's.
Look
and
at
this
us.
Is how much we invest in entertaining our employees. So I always saw it more as like a little show-off moment. But it is also practical, because if you think about it, even if your event is after work hours, and as in the case with Sam's co-workers, usually I'm the one who joins them late. At the end of the day, we're probably going home together, so at least one of us will be sober enough to deal with it. And that brings us to our next topic, alcohol consumption.
Limit your alcohol consumption. this is not to say like don't have those beers, but also like why are you doing 10 rounds of shots?
Yeah, if you're going to do the 10 shots, first of all, kudos to you and goodbye to your liver. But that can be an after party situation. You and your work bestie can take the party somewhere else, somewhere where the company is not footing the bill, somewhere where your manager is not seeing you, somewhere where the VP's spouse is not seeing you, and keep the party going. But maybe because I just came out of summer and fall wedding season, I think that that is another thing that people should just be aware of. The big party where everyone is at is where you are respectable. You're a professional, mature adult who knows how to have moderate fun. As Susie was saying, have the beer, have the wine, nurse that cocktail. But you're not a college kid who just turned 21 and is going to the event for the free open bar. So let's leave that back to the 21-year-olds.
And maybe just think about it more of like as a networking space instead of a party. Because that switches the mindset. Yes, you're being thanked for all the work and all the hours you put in. Yes, there's people you work with every single day. So it's not like, hey, what do you do? What can you offer me? But there will be a bunch of other people that you probably don't know. You want to give your best impression, exactly. And if you're the one throwing the party, do more than serve drinks. Have activities planned. If you just bring tired adults into a room with alcohol and have no other activity planned but talk, mingle, and drink.
A lot of people will go for the liquid courage before they go for the mingling.
Exactly. For example, White Elephants Exchange. You had that, Claudia.
Yes, I am a very strong proponent of White Elephants because in, this will be the third year. Yeah, the third year that my company or where I'm working is doing a Secret Santa or White Elephant Exchange. And I found that White Elephants just give you a chance to get to know your coworkers a lot more than a Secret Santa. For a Secret Santa, if you pick the name of someone who you don't really know, it's like, okay, well, most people will like chocolate. Most people will like a nice smelling candle. The definition of nice smelling gets a little bit murky, but most people would appreciate the thoughts.
Even between us.
Even between us, there are strong debates whenever we're working from the same space. But the Secret Santa is more, requires the person to get to know the other's taste. The White Elephant will require to get to know their humor, which is more likely to engage with in a day-to-day basis. Of course, we cannot shoot the wind as much in professional meetings, but you get to see if someone is a Cubs fan, if someone is a White Sox fan, if someone really likes whitewater rafting. You will find out all of these little things about them. Like, for example, in my current team, we have a daily meeting just to check in with each other in the morning. We try to keep our cameras on, and we notice that everyone is usually drinking coffee, tea, something warm. And so we thought of doing a mug exchange and try to find the kitschiest holiday mugs that we can to make fun of each other. We know the few of us who have religious affiliations, or maybe they have very strong affiliations to their alma maters. So we have some ideas of where we can go. And then there's the one coworker that will not touch hot coffee to save their life. And we're like, well, what can we do for him? But they do drink energy drinks, like their life depends on them. So they're like, okay, instead of getting them a mug, we would get them an energy drink, like six pack, and the koozie sleeve for them. So those little things that get to show not only do I know you, but I also have the sense of humor about it. So I'm a very big fan of white elephants, but that goes more into the Christmas side, not into your precious turkey day.
It's all, it's encompassing that we're entering that season, because if we think about it, this week is Thanksgiving, then we have 3 weeks and it's Christmas. So holiday parties are happening. We have 3 Fridays in between now and Christmas.
And similarly for Friendsgiving or for more informal meetings, one recommendation I would have that, again, I didn't think would be that big of a challenge, but again, there is no such thing as uncommon as common sense, because that means 7 things to these 7 people. The other thing that I found very surprising, reading some feedback from HR managers, HR departments, who are usually the ones tasked with organizing these events, or the cultural committees organizing these events. If someone bothers to throw you a party, please show up, and please show up on time. Unless there's a very specific culture of like, hey, we're just going to have these 2 hours, drop in, drop out as you can. This is during the workday. If someone bothers to organize an entire party outside of work hours, unless you have a reason not to go, going back to Susie's point of networking, it shows collaboration and it shows appreciation for others' work as well. So that is definitely part of my advice. I know for sure I have missed a couple parties and situations like that in college, because they were not situations that I was comfortable in yet. But once we are in the workplace and in an organization, it's very hard to find excuses. Let's just put it that way.
We just did an episode on being shy, introverted, extroverted, all the likes, but still showing up for those things are important, and they will help you in your career, even if you don't see the change right there and then. But with all of our tips and tricks, Claudia, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I actually already had my little office get together, and that's part of where this episode came out of. But I will actually have time off. I will not see any of my coworkers, because I am picking up my parents from the airport tomorrow.
Yay!
So again, for those who may say, okay, why is that relevant? We all talk to our parents. Like, the point of going home for Thanksgiving, the stereotype is you interact with the family and the extended family that you may not interact with as often. Well, go listen to the last episode and the ladies of Bring Us Home, and then come back and tell me about it. But no, that's going to be my plan for the recent holidays. So that's also going to be a very nice little challenge of how to balance it all, because as you said, we only have a couple Fridays left before more family time, Christmas, for winter holidays, for whatever we want to celebrate. And so it also feels like everyone needs to get together right now, especially after a couple of years of not being able to do so. So pace yourself. I hope you get to enjoy the holidays that you do get, whether it's Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving, Turkey Day, Christmas, Boxing Day, Hanukkah, anything else that I may be forgetting.
Kwanzaa.
Apologies for forgetting it. And yeah.
Are you... And this is an actual question I had. Are you incorporating any Italian dishes to your Thanksgiving dinner?
That is an ongoing debate at the moment. Even with my parents here, there's only 4 of us. So we are foregoing the turkey, lest we eat turkey until 2022. But we are trying to give my parents their real first Thanksgiving. So we're going to introduce them to things like mac and cheese, green bean casseroles, pumpkin pie, pecan pie. We are trying to decide on the piece de resistance. We haven't decided yet if that's going to just be steak or chicken, or I am really proud of how I make my wine ribs. So we'll see what comes. But we're trying to give them as original an experience as possible, minus the big bird.
So two things. That sounds delicious. First of all, great spread. I'm really proud of it. But two, well, the first thing is there's this Jewish lady on TikTok, mom. She's planning a Southern Thanksgiving spread.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
It all sounds delicious. I'll send you. Sorry, that's a Pomeranian that wants to be part of this episode. I'll send you the TikTok. It all looks delicious. But two, she's making, so it's kosher. She's making everything dairy free. So very intriguing. Oh, no. For our Thanksgiving, the meat eaters are also foregoing the turkey. Oh, no, now I remember. They're foregoing the turkey and they're doing pot roast this year.
Okay.
So that's another option. What I was going to say about TikTok too is that somehow the first video I got pulled up was like, let's make the turkey eaters jealous this year. And it was like tofu breaded with like stuffing.
Okay, that sounds really good.
It looked great, but it's still tofu. Like, let's not kid anyone. That's going a step too far. But then the next video was how to make a turducken. Do you know what a turducken is?
A what now? So, I feel like my brain has the little spinning wheel whenever you say that word. A what now?
It's a chicken stuffed into a duck, stuffed into a turkey.
So it's avian inception, but there is no ambiguous ending. The only ending is going to be a food coma. Remember at the beginning of the episode when I said that I didn't hate Thanksgiving, I just don't understand it? I think you just proved my point to a T. I want to know who came up with this.
Yeah.
Who decided to let them test it out, document it, and now it might become TikTok trend of the year that we are just going to try to forget. I think like this is the kind of things that if our children or grandchildren will fish this out of the internet 30 years from now, we would shamefully say, oh, I don't remember about that.
I was mostly confused about the TikTok algorithm. It was like,
hey, vegan.
What's hey, up? Vegan, like tofu, dairy-free spread. Oh, let me show you meat inside meat inside meat. What happened there? The
algorithm may be a turkey lover, so it got offended at those little tofu blocks.
The other thing I wanted to touch on is, when do you start decorating for Christmas?
So Italians, if we're going by tradition, should not decorate until December 8th. It's part of Catholic tradition. December 8th is when the Archangel Gabriel visits St. Mary and lets her know, hey, by the way, you're about to have a child. I know you're confused, but it is the future Lord and is going to save all of us. And so that is when we start decorating and preparing for the coming of baby Jesus. Also, at the risk of sounding profane, as a child, I was extremely confused because I knew that for a mommy and a daddy to have a baby, it would take 9 months. Never understood why she got the speed dial, but St. Mary was pretty special. It was a very confusing time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is the day that traditionally we're putting up our trees, our nativity scenes, and all that. Now, because this is going to be Sam's and I first Christmas with the cats and with my parents here, we're probably going to go a little bit more crazy decorating a little earlier. But yeah, traditionally speaking, this whole like, oh, it's November 2nd, let's start listening to Mariah Carey stuff. No. There is a date and that is not it.
I agree. I mean, I'll do decorations around the house, but there's still like pumpkin eat, like fall decoration for Thanksgiving dinner. But I won't start, like, we don't buy the tree or start decorating until after Thanksgiving. We actually stopped for a couple of years because of the cats. We didn't know how they were going to react to the tree and all the ornaments. But it turned out fine, so now we're doing trees again. I wanted to ask, do you do nativity scenes? Because I know they're a big deal here in Mexico City.
In southern Italy, nativity scenes are the very big deal, especially in the region that my family is from, because we work so much with clay and china. So that is a very big point of pride, and you will easily see people have half of their front yard taken up by a nativity scene. And the figurines are still not more than like 3-4 inches tall. So that gives an idea. They're designing the entire village. We're not staying just with the stall. We have the entire village. In the north, it's more and more common to just do the tree, I think, but with smaller nativity scenes inside the house. Because of space, we just do the tree in our apartment, but I'm looking forward to getting to show my parents also all of the American definitions of decorations, because y'all, and I'm saying y'all to the listeners, y'all go all out. I'd be curious to do a study on how much does the cost of electricity go up for December, just from some of the front yards around where I live.
And the blow-ups.
The blow-ups. And we are taking my parents to see the, there's Lincoln Park Zoo lights, and there's the Morton Arboretum light show. So we'll be seeing those. And if anyone else happens to be there, let us know how you like them.
Oh, there is also the Christkindl market. I don't know them.
Christkindl. Yep.
Yeah.
I think I'm mispronouncing it as well, but just a little bit more confidently. I went there once pre-pandemic. I really liked the idea of it, but I think with the crowds, we will be staying away from that.
Some cute decorations. That was about it. And then the very known mug that they give out every year.
Yeah. So if you're going into your Thanksgiving, turkey, no turkey, keep us posted. Good luck if it's the first year that you're meeting up again with big groups of family and friends. Extend yourself and them some grace. That's supposed to be what the holiday is all about. And if you're going to office parties, keep in mind, don't do anything that you wouldn't want your grandparents to know about. So even if your office culture is extremely relaxed, keep in mind, it is still at work. Have fun networking, have fun reviewing the highlights of the year. Don't dish out the dirt and don't drink all the drinks, and then you should be good.
Yep, sounds like a pretty good equation for a good time.
We are definitely going to try to do the same, which is why we're also taking a little break from hitting record. We will not have an episode coming out on the 29th. Feel free to go back through the archives and catch up on the things from maybe last year, any episodes you may have missed. But we'll be back on the air on December 6th, and we will talk about more holidays, more things coming up with the end of the year. Whether you love Turkey Day, you would rather do a turkey trot than sit down with some of your relatives, either is fine. If you gotta tune out that one annoying uncle or aunt, feel free to tune in for more episodes, or let us know what your Thanksgiving recipe is. Slide into our DMs or send us a message at Bias Check-In Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can send us a voice note. And if you would like to, you can also support us if we're feeling like giving thanks at anchor.fm or send us an old school email at biasjakin@gmail.com. That said, enjoy your break, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.